My next guest is on the line. He is Dan Brotman. We spoke to him last week, and with some luck, we will be speaking to him weekly about all the traveling that he does. He has to be one of the most interesting people on the planet, having traveled to 37 countries, and that's apparently just since October the 7th. Dan Brotman, thanks for being with us on Chai FM.
Good to be with you again, this time from a different country.
Are you kidding? That was going to be the first question. Are you still in Argentina, or where on this globe are you?
So actually, right now I'm in Canada, in Toronto, but I'm moving to Montreal this Wednesday, which is a completely different part of Canada that speaks French.
Oh my goodness me. Lots to chat about. Okay, the two issues I want to touch on with you today. The first is Argentina. I want to talk to you about the Jewish community in Argentina, your impressions and insights into that particular country. And then I also want to talk to you about an article that you have written. It's all over social media. It's made quite a splash about Jewish identity and safety in a post-October the 7th world, with your thesis being that maybe it's time to relook at what we consider safe as Jews worldwide.
Absolutely. Lots to say on all of it.
Let's start with Argentina. Let's do 5 minutes on Argentina and then 5 minutes on the article. Tell me about the Jewish community in Argentina. How many? What's it made up of? Give me the spiel.
Sure. So first of all, I'll start by saying this was my third time in Argentina. I was there in 2005, 2019, and then I was there a week ago. And Argentina, you know, it's not a very stable country. So every time I'm in Argentina, the country's in a very different situation. Just in a nutshell, when Jews were leaving Eastern Europe and parts of the former Ottoman Empire at the turn of the 20th century, and they went to places like North America and South Africa, many, many went also to Argentina. At the turn of the 20th century, Argentina was one of the five wealthiest countries in the world. And in addition, Argentina was very sparsely populated, so the government had an open immigration policy. So it was an easy place to immigrate to in a wealthy country. In the 1970s, Argentina had 500,000 Jews, 500,000 Jews. Wow. Today, the Jewish population is down to about 200,000. And that's due to a variety of factors ranging from emigration to assimilation. But it is still home to the largest Jewish community in South America. It's a very, very vibrant Jewish community. And everything that I saw this time, especially post October 7th, was very different from my previous two visits.
Talk to me about that in a little more detail. What do you mean?
So, as you mentioned, I've traveled to 100 countries in my life so far, but I've been to 37 countries since October 7th. And, you know, the world has really changed since October 7th. And there are countries that as Jews, we previously thought were very safe and stable for us, that it turns out are not so safe and stable for us. And there are also countries that maybe as Jews we disregarded that have actually become some of the safest places to be Jewish and Zionist today. And I spent the past year living in the UK in London, which is really not a very comfortable place to be Jewish at all. Lots to say on that. But that was my first time living in Europe. It was a very, very shocking experience. And of course, you know, I'm living in Canada, not so comfortable here. There have been many terrible stories out of places like Australia. But basically, Argentina it was one of the first countries that I've been to since October 7th, where you don't see really a single pro-Palestinian sign, graffiti, flag anywhere.
How do you account for that, Dan?
I think there are a few reasons. First of all, Argentina is very geographically cut off from the rest of the world. So they're not so immersed in international news and politics like other parts of the world. I think that's one factor. The second factor is, of course, Javier Milei, their president. They have a president who's kind of called the Donald Trump of South America. But he's really working to stabilize their economy. He's a huge friend of the Jewish community. He's actually pledged that he's going to convert to Judaism once he's out of office, because to be president in Argentina, you have to be Catholic. So he plans on converting to Judaism. He studies with rabbis. I believe he studies Talmud. He actually announced that they're going to be moving Argentina's embassy to Jerusalem. The government is extremely, extremely pro-Israel, especially the president. It's cut off from the rest of the world. They're not so interested in wars in other countries. And you don't see Ukraine flags either in Argentina. And on top of it, it has an extremely strong, large Jewish community. So Argentina and Buenos Aires in particular is the kind of place that you can speak in Hebrew openly in the streets. Nothing will happen to you. No Palestinian flags, no signs, no hostage posters torn down. Nothing like what I experienced in London or what I see in Canada. For me, it was a huge sense of relief, but I felt almost like I was in a time capsule and it was taking me back to an era pre-October 7th.
I don't know why I thought that there was massive immigration from the Middle East, and I didn't realize for one moment that Jews were as comfortable there as you're intimating to me that they are. Am I wrong?
No, so you're correct. So there is not a lot of immigration from the Middle East to Argentina. Also, not all South American countries are very comfortable for Jewish people right now. So, for example, Colombia expelled the Israeli ambassador. Brazil has threatened to arrest Israeli tourists who served in the Gaza war. Chile has the largest Palestinian diaspora community outside of the Middle East. But again, I think it's like the unique combination of the government, how remote they are, the large Jewish community. I was walking around so many neighborhoods in Buenos Aires, and Jews are wearing kippot and tzitzit. There's absolutely no threat. I went to synagogue in Buenos Aires. It was packed with young people, really, really packed. At the same time, having lived in a place like London, I really question, over the next decade, like how much more uncomfortable is it going to become for Jews there? It was very uncomfortable studying at a university in the UK. All hostage posters were torn down. Keffiyehs worn by everyone, including white British people. You would see it in the tube constantly, protests everywhere. It's not a comfortable way to live. You're always, I mean, you know, you hear about Israelis who have to change their names when they take an Uber. They don't want to have an Israeli name. Israelis getting attacked in places like Amsterdam. I know there are some other places in the world that are becoming extremely safe for Jews, for example, Hungary. And other parts of Eastern Europe that I visited, you do not see a single pro-Palestinian poster protest, and it's very, very safe to be pro-Israel and Jewish. But again, when we think of Argentina, we often think of the Amia bombing. That was the community center in Argentina that was bombed in 1994. Iran was behind it. They also bombed the Israeli embassy, and they still have not brought anyone to justice. Argentina also brought a lot of Nazis after World War II went to Argentina. So it's not to say that Argentina's had a squeaky clean history when it comes to Jews, and certainly Eastern Europe hasn't either. But the world has changed since October 7th.
It's a
And I
fascinating
think that we need.
insight. It's a fascinating insight then, because there you're talking to me about all this, and it sounds well and good. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, as those Eastern European Jews were fleeing post-war Europe, the Argentinians were accepting Nazis. I mean, knowingly so, they were accepting Nazis. You did mention the Iranian attack on the community center in Buenos Aires, which, up until that point, I think was one of the most significant terror attacks on a Jewish target anywhere outside of Israel at the time. And one wonders to what extent, and maybe I'm being devil's advocate here, but that this isn't being led by the personality cult of Javier Milei. And I'm thinking how quickly these things can change, Dan. I mean, I lived in Australia for 7 years. I never saw one incident of anti-Semitism during the time I was there. And look at the undercurrent that was clearly there all the time that I was just blissfully unaware of.
I agree. I think that things can change quickly. So basically, the clip that I put on my Instagram, which has now had over 200,000 views, and I called it like, "Is this the safest country to be Jewish in 2025?" question mark, was about Argentina. I'm only looking at where it's safe to be Jewish in
Fair enough.
2025. We
Fair
don't know
enough.
when the war between Israel and Gaza is going to end. We don't know what the world is going to look like in 2026. We also know that politics globally are changing. But I can say that as of 2025, the safest places that I have seen in the world to be Jewish today are most countries in Central and Eastern Europe, but not all. Slovenia is terrible, and I'd be happy to speak more about Slovenia another time.
Next week, yeah.
But most of Central and Eastern Europe is very, very safe to be Jewish. And within Latin America, places like Panama and Argentina are extremely safe to be Jewish. And also, as Jewish tourists, when we think about where we want to travel to, which countries we want to give our money to, there are countries that are very welcoming to their Jewish populations where you're not going to experience any anti-Semitism, where there's lots of kosher food. And I think that those are countries we should consider giving our tourist dollars to. And those are countries like, as I mentioned, in Central and Eastern Europe, there are many, but also places like Argentina and Panama.
So bizarre how the paradigm has shifted since October the 7th. I mean, if you told me that I would be comfortable in Orban's Hungary, I would have said, come on, Dan, you're smoking something. But according to what you're saying, it's just the reality. That's where Jews are safe today.
And also, we look at New York, which is, I believe, the
Yes.
largest Jewish city outside of Israel. And there's a lot of anxiety right now in New York around whether Mamdani is going to be mayor and what that may mean for Jews in the city. Things are changing very, very quickly. I think that it previously the world wasn't changing as quickly as it is today. So we used to be able to say, "Oh, it's great to be Jewish in France. It's great to be Jewish in New York." And that would hold true for many, many years. I think things are changing at a speed right now where all we can say is it is safe to be Jewish in this place this year. And we're going to see
Fascinating.
next year where it's safe. But that's how quickly the world is
Wow.
changing. And I was really shocked, and I really was so shocked in Argentina. It was almost as if the war between Israel and Gaza wasn't happening. And I could just kind of let my hair down and I wasn't constantly on the lookout. I mean, when I was in Peru, for example, before Argentina, I mean, again, there wasn't as much graffiti in Peru like what you would see in places in Europe. But seeing Magen Davids with swastikas inside of them, it's not pleasant when you're traveling to have to look at that. It's not pleasant to have to worry about, if you're speaking Hebrew or you're wearing a Magen David, to have to worry about that. But there was absolutely nothing to worry about in Argentina. And that was something that I hadn't even thought about when I was there in 2019.
Final question to you this afternoon, just about Argentina. In terms of the economic difficulties that they've been through, and they've been considerable, that's for sure. Is there a sense of a community, a Jewish community, under stress, or is it the same as everybody and they're getting through it somehow?
The sense I get is that the Jewish community experiences the same economic upheavals as everyone else in the country. What I can tell you is different about Argentina was that they had very, very high inflation. So when I was in Argentina in 2019, and that was even coming with rands, it was very affordable, very inexpensive. You could eat well. Everything has changed since Javier Milei became president. So inflation has been cut. And now the prices in Buenos Aires, I was shocked. It's basically the same as the US, if
Oh,
not more.
wow.
So I found that, even though Argentina is a very safe destination, it's become a very expensive destination, very, very expensive. I was really shocked. And it's a problem because the salaries have not increased for the Argentines. So the question is, what something has to give. You cannot have people earning very low salaries, which is what they earn in Argentina, with prices that are higher than the US. So this is a new phenomenon just from this year. I don't think it's going to stay that way. What I did ask people in the Jewish community is, are people leaving because of,
That was,
just how economically unstable it is?
yeah.
And people said no, actually. People are not leaving. Argentina is still a large country. It still has a lot of opportunity. Jews have been very successful there. But yeah, it's again, there's no the other big fear in Argentina is that Javier Milei is so pro-Israel. And what happens if there's now an opposite reaction with the next president when they have their next federal election.
That happened in
Brazil,
didn't it?
That's kind of what happened in Brazil.
Yeah, with Lula.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened in Brazil.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's a concern that I have about the U.S. That could be actually the biggest damage we see from Donald Trump is the reaction to against Donald Trump and electing a far left president who's very anti-Israel. So that is always a concern, and that's always why I say we can only look at where it's safe to be Jewish this year.
Yeah.
It's so hard to predict next year where we'll be safe to be Jewish.
Dan, you can see you've done this before because you've taken me exactly to where I wanted to get. It is coming up for 4 o'clock. We're going to take news, but thanks for talking to me. We'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, Simon. Take care.